Hello, it feels so good to be back. I am Selena Justine, and welcome to my new show, Blissfully Ever After, A Gal's Guide to Life, aka GGTL. In this podcast, you and I are going to navigate the exciting transition into the next chapter of our lives. From faith to marriage to babies, we are going to cover it all. Together, we're going to toast to this next chapter. So cheers to today's dose of inspiration.
I'll go ahead and give you an introduction. And I was thinking about that before we hopped on here. I thought, how funny, because of course, like you're you to me, like I view as like my mom. So right. It's so funny to think of, you know, all the, you carry so many hats and so many titles, which is so cool. And I don't want to dismiss any of that because there is so much merit to each one of those. And so, and if I miss any, please go ahead and correct me. And I was also looking at the back of your book, so I want to see, you know, if I missed any. But anyway, so.
Okay, yeah, a little bit of my bio is back there.
Yeah, I'll kind of give a condensed version of your other titles. And so you're definitely a pastor. Well, first of all, you're a wife, a mother, and a pastor, and worship leader. And I think this is right, family marriage counselor too, right?
Yes, I've done it all.
You've literally done it all and are still doing it all. You impress me every day, woman. You really do.
You know, I always say I'm one of those people that can do a little bit of everything but never mastered any of them.
So I beg to differ with that. I think you've at least mastered a good amount. So,
well, that's because I'm old.
You're seasoned.
I'm seasoned. The longer you do it, the better you get at it. So,
yes. And of course, what holds most dearly to my heart is you are my future mother-in-law. So that means so much to me. And I'm just so glad we're going to get into some good stuff today. And this has been on both of our agenda for some time. So, yes. And we know how the Lord works. Like it, you know, we actually attempted one months ago, like a long time ago. And not that it was bad. I just was like, this isn't it. And so I'm glad I waited and didn't really, I'm glad I waited because I think today is going to be really something powerful. And I know it will be actually. And so before we get into prayer, I just want to give a little brief overview of what it's going to be about today, our conversation. Okay. And so we're essentially just going to be exploring the connection between faith, imagination, and dreams. And so it's going to hold so much. And I'm really excited to see your take on that. And also that's going to be a great reflection. I have your book here, one of your books. It's the devotional for those listening. It's called A Throne Room View. And it's a 21-day devotional. It's amazing. I've gone through it, of course. It was some months ago, but it really was so powerful. And so we're going to be going through day 20. And it's one of those chapters. It's in the title is When Faith is Connected to My Dream. So before we dig into all that goodness, if you want to open us in prayer and just to cover this episode and those listening.
First of all, I just want to say to you, Selena, I am so grateful for you and to have you into our family. You're so beautiful inside and out, and you're a treasure to our family, but you're a treasure to everyone you meet. You have this way about you that is so godly, but so like people are drawn to you because you just carry that light. You know, you carry that with you. So I'm just really grateful. And I want everybody to know that how grateful I am for you. And you're a blessing to me, our family, to my son, and to see you two around each other and how you love each other is so refreshing. And to see your passion for God is so refreshing. Like you, it just refreshes my soul. So it's an honor to be on here with you today. And I love you very much. So let's pray. You ready?
Yeah.
Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity and this time that we get to talk about you. And I just want to pray over the ears of the listeners and everyone who is listening, maybe someone their faith is low, or maybe they're losing their faith, and maybe their dreams are not connected to their faith, or maybe they just can't see you right now, God. They can't see you at work. So I just pray that all of heaven would open over them today and over us we could see you at work and join you, because God, your dreams for us are bigger than our dreams. And I pray, God, that every person that is listening will feel your heart toward them, and that something would awaken inside of them to feel your presence and to feel your dreams, and that you are cheering us all on, that you're not angry, you're not mad, but you are in the middle of all the chaos, you're in the middle of all the craziness in the world, and you are in the middle of your church, and you are still listening to us, you're still guiding us, and you are pouring your dreams into us. So help us to have an open heart today, an open mind, and to listen to your voice and to hear you. And I'm just asking you, God, to reignite something in someone's heart today, to dream again and let their faith be connected to the dreams you've put in their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So good. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, so let's go into, well, I have these divided into different segments. And so the first one is going to be the power of imagination.
Okay.
And like I said, I was going through really the first page of that chapter of day 20. And I'm just going to go ahead and pull insight from that. And okay. One of my first kind of highlights of that page is you wrote to imagine, and that means to form a mental image. And I think that alone is so simple, yet holds so much weight, because mm-hmm. I mean, at least for myself, all day long, I am daydreaming, I'm picturing things, even, and I know, I think all of us, when we're driving, sometimes it's like, how did I even get here? You're just like thinking of things, you know, because it's more mm-hmm. so just like muscle memory when driving. So your mind just going elsewhere, or in the shower, you have all these thoughts. And so it's really mm-hmm. something, our imagination, and what a gift it is from the Lord.
Yes.
It's just, what are we using that gift for? And mm-hmm. so I'd really love to dive into that, and just the emphasis on that. And before I want you to discuss that, I wanted to read actually this passage again from that page. Mm-hmm. And it says, our imagination is powerful. God is the one who made our imagination, but the devil loves to use our imagination to show us what his will is. He loves to give you dreams that are filled with fear and torture. He loves making horror movies that starts first in the imagination of producer. He loves creating arguments first that come through presumptions created by our imagination. Mm. So that was really something huge for me. I remember when I first read this months ago. Mm-hmm. And I thought about that, where when you said he kind of creates this horror film in our mind, because I think by nature, a lot of us do think of the worst case scenario. And mm-hmm. some people will build that up to be a personality trait of like, oh no, like they're like just calling themselves a cynic, or, mm-hmm. you know, all these things. And so I think it's deeper than that. It's actually, that's the enemy mm-hmm. at work trying to take this gift that the Lord has given us of imagination. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and get into that. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Hey, this is one of my favorite things to talk about. So first of all, we have to realize that our imagination is from the Lord. And a lot of people want to say, oh, you're just daydreaming, or you're just off in the left field somewhere. No, there's something powerful about our imagination when it's connected to God, right? Yeah. So like I said in the book, that the enemy loves to take advantage of the gifts that God has put inside of us and twist it. So our imagination is a gift. So let's go back to the beginning when God created man, right? The word says that he created him in his image. Okay. So the word imagination, the root word of imagination is image, right? So if we trace that word back to the ancient Hebrew, it's a word called yetzer, right? Mm-hmm. So the Lord looks at our yetzer, and it's spelled Y-E-T-Z-E-R.
So that's German.
It does, right? So it's an ancient Hebrew word, and it's where we form our thoughts, and every thought comes with a picture, right? Every thought comes with a picture. So God had a thought, and it formed a picture, and he created. Right? Mm-hmm. But what's so powerful about it is the thought came from his heart and his love, because God is love. So he literally reached inside of himself and he created you. He reached inside his heart of love that he has for mankind. And in his yetzer, in his mind, he saw your life all the way to the end, to the beginning. He saw the end of your life and he created you. He knitted you together in your mother's womb because he saw you first. Mm-hmm. He loves you. He loved you first. And if he saw you in his heart, then as Jeremiah 29:11 says, he knows the plans because he's carried you. He carried you before he created you. And he saw you and then he made you. Okay. So that is put into every one of us. When we have a dream, we dream it, we see it, and then we do it. There's nothing that you ever do that does not come from a thought. And that thought creates a picture for us, good or bad. So that's why the Bible says we have to cast down imaginations that do not line up with the Word of God. We have to cast down, the principalities and rules of negative thinking. We have to cast down doubt. We have to cast down fear. And because all of those things, doubt paints a picture for you. Fear paints a picture for you. Negativity paints a picture for you. You see it. You can see all of the negative things unroll. And then our life follows what's in our heart, our imagination, because our mind and our heart is connected, right? Mm-hmm. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but the mouth doesn't say anything without the thought and the picture. And then it gets into our heart and then we speak it, right? So what God did, he had a thought. He had a picture of your life, Selena, of everything that he wanted to do in your life. He knew the work of Satan. He knew how he was going to try to take advantage of you. Mm-hmm. So that's why God became man. He became Jesus and he bore all of those things for us, that we could have a victorious life even while we're here on earth. We could have an abundant life while we're right here on earth, right? Mm-hmm. So if God did that and he created you and he made you, then we have that same thing in us. So when faith is in our heart, and the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence not seen. So I don't see it in the natural, but I see it in my heart. I see it in my yetzer, right?
Yeah.
And then my life will follow that. Michael Jordan said this, every time he got a hoop, every time he, he's always getting hoops. Before he imagined it, before he did it, he would sit down the night before and he would plan the whole thing out. This is how I'm going to play. He would see every move. He would see every hoop. And therefore he did it. Yeah. He did what he could see, right? Mm-hmm. So whatever you can see, you can do it. If you're connected with God and you have faith, that's when he said, now get this. He said, I will do above what you could think, comprehend, or imagine. Mm-hmm. Isn't that powerful? So when you say, if you can imagine it, I can do it. And when our faith is connected to it, it means I don't see it in the natural, but I'm going to speak it and declare it in the supernatural because I see it in my heart. Mm-hmm. And faith cannot be moved. When you have faith, it means that I'm convinced. Have you ever been convinced about something and nobody could tell you otherwise?
Yeah.
Okay. That's the way faith is. You're convinced that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. I can have what he says I can have, and I can be what he says I can be. He lives in me, and I live in him. We're connected. We're one. So when he dreams, I dream, right?
Yeah.
He puts something in me that's going to require faith. And this is what faith does. Faith without works is dead, right? Mm-hmm. So what he requires is you do what you can, and then he will do what you can't.
Yes. Oh, that's good.
Right?
I like that.
So somebody needs to hear that again, because some people are just waiting for God. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're just sitting back and God's going to show up. But there is something that you can do in the midst of your faith, right? You're mm-hmm. going to do something. Faith without works is dead. Okay. For instance, I'm praying that my house will sell. Okay. You, can you see it? Yeah, I can see it. I can see the buyer coming by. I got the price on it. I can see that it's going to happen. Okay. You know what you have to do now? Go put a for sale sign in the front yard.
Right.
So there's something that you can do, and then God does what you can't do. Mm-hmm. You can't go get people to bring them in. I mean, you could, but God could bring the right person by.
Yes.
And you know what I'm saying? So it's the same way in every area of your life. When faith is connected to it, it means I'm convinced mm-hmm. that God will do what he said he will do, and you can't be shaken from it.
And I wonder how much time is wasted that we've all been maybe, I'm sure, guilty of, just because we do fall short of course, like perfection. So I wonder how much time has been wasted when we had just expected it to happen without doing our part. You know, like that's so interesting, because I'm picturing, it's so funny, I'm literally picturing what you're saying about the house. It's like, well, you could just sit there like, okay, and really believe of, mm-hmm. all right, well, the right person will come by even if there's no for sale sign. It's like, right. No, like that's silly, you know? Right. And that's, so it's really my cat is joining us. She does this every podcast episode.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm surprised my dogs hadn't started barking yet. So same scenario.
Oh gosh, her, this girl. But anyway, I just thought about that because you're right. It takes that realistic and tangible action on our end to take mm-hmm. that next step to do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And so, okay, let's get into our thought life and more specifically battling those negative thoughts. Mm-hmm. And we can go, I know in that same chapter, you reference, let's see, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 7. Mm-hmm. And if you want to read that, I'll let you read that.
Okay. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing it into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience with your obedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So this is so powerful to me, because the battle mm-hmm. most of the time is in the mind.
Yeah.
Because the enemy knows that if he can get into your mind, he can get into your life, because your life follows your thoughts mm-hmm. and your life follows what you dwell on. That's the reason the Bible says to dwell on these things, think on these things that are good, because mm-hmm. our mind never stops. Our mind keeps going, right? Yeah. And so the enemy does take advantage of that. The enemy comes in to kill, steal, and destroy. So he will come in and twist the, for instance, let's say your relationships with people. The enemy will come in and cause you to perceive something that's not really there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you begin the thought pattern of what that other person must be thinking about you, which is crazy, because we do not read minds. God mm-hmm. does. And that's the reason, and this is what happens. You take that thought, because here's my boundary. Mm-hmm. I'm going to think the best about people.
Yes.
I'm always going to think the best. I'm going to walk around and just assume that you like me. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that, because we're brothers and sisters, I'm going to assume it. But the enemy will come in and say, oh, they don't like you because this, 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 and this, right? Yeah. So it forms an imagination. It forms a thought. It forms a pattern, and it makes you feel yucky inside. So mm-hmm. then you start forming these judgments about that person, okay? Yeah. Or it could be about God. You start forming judgments about God. God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. God doesn't see me. God doesn't, you know, he wants to bless everybody else, but he doesn't want to bless me. God is speaking to other people, but he never speaks to me. Those are all thoughts that come from the enemy. So mm-hmm. the Bible says that we're to take that thought and weigh it out. Mm-hmm. Okay. Where is this thought coming from? If it's dirty, if it's ugly, if it's negative, it is not from God. Mm-hmm. Okay. If it makes you feel condemned, guilty, shameful, it's not from God. Mm-hmm. If it makes you feel like this is what happens when God speaks to you. He will speak to you and he convicts you, but there's a sweetness about mm-hmm. it that draws you to him. When the enemy speaks to you, it's ugly, it's dirty, it's shameful, and it draws you away from God. And that's mm-hmm. what he wants. Because if he can draw you away from God, he knows that he can have control over your life. So the Bible gives us instructions for our life. The Bible tells us how to live. It's like my GPS. But yeah. the Bible says we have to take, I think it was, I heard a neuroscientist say we have anywhere from 145,000 thoughts a day up to 175,000.
Gosh, that's a lot.
That's a lot of thoughts.
Yeah.
A lot. And the Bible says to take every thought into captivity. If you want to live a victorious life, if you want to live a powerful life, take every thought into captivity. And then you weigh it out. You go, where is this coming from? And if it feels dirty, feels ugly, then you cast it down and you choose to not believe that. Mm-hmm. But here's what you have to do. You have to replace that thought with the truth.
I was going to say that.
Or else that thought will become a stronghold in your life, right? So what is the truth? If I'm forming an opinion about someone, what would be the truth about that? Well, the truth is, God, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know if they like me or not. And what I do know is, God, you like me, and I'm your daughter. And if you like me, that's really all that matters today. And you've called me to love people, even my enemies. So if they don't like me, who cares?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. We put so much thought into like, oh, why doesn't everybody like me? And then the enemy loves that. He loves to get into that. That you're rejected, you're not accepted. Oh, I am accepted though by the Father.
Yes.
You take that thought, I am accepted. And if you accept me, that's good enough for me. Then I can walk around with that attitude and it draws people to you. I have learned that when I shifted my thoughts and I started, like, I remember, Selena, I'll give you this example. Mm-hmm. Many years ago when I was in my 20s, I had issues with abandonment and I was separated from my mom. And I was raised with my dad. I had all brothers. I never had like a girlfriend, like a best friend. All my best friends were guys. So I had formed this thought that, well, girls just don't like me. My mom didn't like me. Girls don't like me. I'll never have like a true girlfriend, best friend, you know, someone that I can confide in. And because of that pattern, I never had a true friend. But I remember one day when the Lord came to me and he said, if you want a true friend, then be a friend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And cast down the imagination that I am a good friend. They do like me. Other people want to be my friend. Girls want to be my friend. Girls don't hate me. They're not against me. And when I started replacing that thought, overnight, I kid you not, I had so many friends. And I remember, we were living in Griffin, and I started just forming friendships that I still have to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful. It comes from shifting your thoughts, period.
Yeah.
Taking everything into captivity and making it come into alignment. So you have to replace that thought with truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is the word of God, who God says you are, what God says you can have. And your identity in him. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And it's so funny because it's something I actually was meditating on earlier this week. And it was actually a different devotional. And it's the one you and I, the book that you had recommended. Mm-hmm. And gosh, I don't have it in front of me right now. It's on my desk in my room. But it was essentially saying, I don't want to mess this up. It's going mm-hmm. to what you had just said. It was saying our experiences in our past, mm-hmm. just because it happened, we don't have to rely on that to move us forward. And I was debating if I want to share this, but I'm going to keep this private. But it's something that you and I have talked about, but I just want to keep it private with the podcast. And so it was a topic that I had kind of, because of my personal past, mm-hmm. I had formed this false truth about this particular mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And until I read that this past week, it was like a complete veil lifted of, mm-hmm. oh, I actually don't have to agree with that. Mm-hmm. That was a false truth. And what mm-hmm. they highly, of course, encouraged was now replace what you're thinking with the actual biblical truth. And mm-hmm. so I did that and I said, oh, no, God said this is good. So I thought about that and I'm like, mm-hmm. And again, now this is my choice and my action with my faith to swap mm-hmm. that out. And mm-hmm. no one else can do that but me. Mm-hmm. And so that was really groundbreaking because okay, this is actually our choice. And of course, things like this can be easier said than done, but it's not impossible. It's just going to be a shift. And it's going to take a little exercise right now because I'm so used to that default mode of that past thought. Mm-hmm. But now it's like training new muscle. It's possible. Mm-hmm. It's just going to take mm-hmm. some exercise. So that was really exciting for me earlier this week. And
yes,
since we're talking about that, I thought that was pretty relatable. But it's – and I think that goes back, which I want to talk about this new bullet point of what are some of those practical strategies of replacing those thoughts and resisting the devil's influence and just reclaiming those truthful, powerful biblical mm-hmm. thoughts over our life. Because there was a point, and I remember coming to you with this not too long ago, where I was really wrestling with these thoughts that definitely were not godly, and I was mm-hmm. aware of that. But I literally was so blank-minded of like, I don't know what to replace this with. Like, mm-hmm. what are heavenly thoughts? What are godly thoughts? And it's so wild to even say that because I know the Lord, yet I was like, wait, but what are his thoughts? Mm-hmm. And so I think, like I said earlier this week, what helped me was, okay, it's thinking of scripture. And that's why it's so important to read his words. Mm-hmm. That way we know his word. Mm-hmm. And you can't replace something without knowing, gosh, that's a whole other tangent, but that's like, anyway, I don't want to go off on a tangent. So I'll go
ahead. That's fine. Yeah. So first of all, the part that you were talking about with experiencing God, a lot of people as pastors, we've heard this too. I've experienced this with God and God said these things, but it was outside of his word, right? Mm-hmm. And when anything you experience is outside of his word, that is an experience, a thought, a picture that you have to take into captivity and make it come and line up with the word. So the truth is, every experience I have with God will be in alignment with the word of God. Mm-hmm. So the Bible has scriptures in it, right? So scriptures, the root word to scriptures is script. It's a script written for your life. If you think about an actor or an actress, if they're playing a part in a movie, what do? They read the script,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. But they read it and they read it and they read it and then they become it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's why it's called scripture. It could be called anything else, but it's a script written for our mm-hmm. life that we can become. It's our GPS. So when we feel ourselves going outside of what God wants us to become, we have to come back into alignment with the truth. Okay. The truth is Does it line up with the word of God? Does it line up with this? The enemy will twist the truth sometimes, and he'll use the scripture to do it. He did it with Jesus. So that's why we have to be careful. And that's why when we have this relationship with God, the scripture and everything that's happening has to line up with the character of God.
Yes.
Okay. So knowing the character of God, so Satan will take the word and twist it. But when he does, it doesn't line up with the character of God mm-hmm. and the original version that he had. Right.
Yeah.
So,
and just to pause real fast, I think that'll bring you back, going back to the feelings, that'll feel yucky. It won't feel the goodness, mm-hmm. but okay, mm-hmm. go ahead. Just want to say that.
And insecurity and pride are the same feelings of just feeling yucky. It's not mm-hmm. a good feeling. So those are the same things that we have to take into captivity. We have to check our heart. Am I being insecure?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't look at insecurity as equivalent as pride, but to me, it can be even more powerful because it focuses on oneself instead of on God, right? Yeah. So our focus is now, it becomes on God, and our faith is connected to God. And then we become who he wants us to be by reading the script for our life, right? Mm-hmm. So God is faithful. But the root word to faith in Hebrew is eman, E-M-U-N. And that's where we get the word amen from. And mm-hmm. you think about, when I say something and someone says amen, what it means is, hey, that's the truth. I agree with that. That's the truth. I am coming in agreement with what you just said. Mm-hmm. If a person says amen, it comes from that word iman, which is that old ancient Hebrew word that says what you said is true, right? And yeah. I agree with it, and I'm going to come in alignment with it. Amen, period, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to, whatever thoughts you're having in your mind, whatever you're carrying around, it has to come in with the iman, the faith, the yes and amen, the gospel, the script that is written for your life. Mm-hmm. So if God has written a script for your life, what is it? And if the word says Jesus is interceding for you every day, what is he saying? Mm-hmm. What is he praying over you? I have a feeling he's praying that your faith will not fail you. I have a feeling that the script that God has written over your life, it involves the gifts that he puts inside of you, the desires that he puts inside of you. Like I love to play the piano and I love music. I have a desire to sing. I have a desire. He uses that. Right.
Yeah.
And it takes faith for me to step out on the stage to sing anything or to speak anything. I have a desire to preach the gospel. Right. Mm-hmm. Or I have desires to do a podcast. Oh, I have dreams, all these things. It lines up. You know what the Bible says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Right.
Yeah.
So that word really means if you delight yourself in the Lord, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. Number one, do I love him like that? Do I love him with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my thoughts, all of my soul? In my yetzer, I love him. It says, if you do that, then I will put my desires in your heart and you will begin to desire what I desire. Mm-hmm. You'll begin to dream what I dream. And that is it, because a lot of people are like, well, I desire to be a millionaire, or I desire to... Well, do you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind? And if you do, and you still have that thought, then God's putting it there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
A lot of things that it's just we're doing things, we're dreaming things that are not in alignment with God. And so one of the practical things that we can do mm-hmm. is just to make sure that our faith and our hearts are connected to God, And always, I always bring my heart into submission to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because I wake up with my flesh every day and I have to cast down imaginations every day and I have to replace it with the truth. So the thing is, what is the truth? And you only know the truth by knowing what the word says and knowing the character of God. Mm-hmm. Did that answer the question?
You did, yeah. And I just want to quickly touch. It was so powerful. Just a moment ago, you said how Jesus is interceding for us every yes. single day. Mm-hmm. I don't know. When you said that, it just felt so anointed. Like I immediately just like, I just felt the Lord's presence when you said that. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I mean, I know that was for me and I'm assuming for those listening also, like mm-hmm. there just was something about that moment when that was said. So that was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. And
it's so powerful. I'll tell you this one story about that one time. 'Cause I was in prayer and I was praying things over my children, but I felt the Holy Spirit come to me and said, "Hey, will you pray with Jesus instead of to him?"
Wow.
And I was like, "What do you mean pray with him?" And he says, "Listen to how he's praying over Reed, Rhett, and Ryan and join him with his prayers over him." It changed my prayer life.
Changed. Oh my gosh, I would cry like a waterfall.
Yeah, I mean, it did. It changed everything because now I've learned to pray with him, to listen to what God is saying about my children. What is God saying about my church? And what is God saying about, because my feelings, the Bible says our heart will deceive us above all things. Yeah. You know, and if you listen to your heart, you know, I hear people all the time, follow your heart. You better not follow your heart, somebody. You better make sure that what's in your heart, because what we carry in our heart, our feelings, is really the soul. And the enemy loves to get into the soul. And that's where the pictures are painted, right? That's where we have to cast those thoughts down. I wake up with that every day, and I have to bring my heart into submission of the Lord. And I have to call those things that are not as though they were. I don't pray in agreement with my circumstances. I pray in agreement with what Jesus is saying about this situation.
Yes.
And then if you listen to him about what he is saying, it changes everything. It changes your prayer life. Mm-hmm. And you start praying the word over your family. You start thanking God. And then you carry this peace around. But just, you know, you're not worried anymore. Instead of worry, pray about it. Mm-hmm. But when you pray about it, pray with Jesus.
So when you say praying with Jesus, does that mean praying scripture? Does that mean, like, what is that? How can we do that?
Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you, for Rhett, one time I was praying for Rhett, mm-hmm. and the things that I saw in the natural that was happening, it did not come into alignment with my prayers that I was praying and what I was praying. So I began to get discouraged, right? Mm-hmm. So I stopped and I listened. I took my thoughts. I took every thought, because the enemy was, he came to me in my prayer time, wow. telling me that God's not going to hear you. And it was just all these negative thoughts. And then while I'm praying, the enemy loves to come to you while you're praying. Okay.
Yeah.
But I began to listen to Jesus. And then I saw and heard how much Jesus loves Rhett. And I listened, what is he praying over Rhett? And I heard him say, "I'm praying that his faith will not fail him." And then I saw the attacks that came against him with his physical health was not literally against his physical health, but it was against his faith.
Wow.
Right? So I prayed with Jesus.
Yes.
Then my scriptures became Holy Spirit, let faith rise up. Let the love of God cast away every negative thing in his life. Everything that's not true and that's not of you, I pray that faith will outweigh it. And when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that faith, hope, and love are a powerful trinity, it is. When you combine faith, hope, and love, and you start praying like that, things begin to shift. Things begin to change. That's what I mean by praying with Jesus.
Okay, that's so good. That's so powerful. I think that's a great segue into what are, let me pull it up here instead. Let's talk about the contrast between the voice of the soul versus the voice of the spirit.
That's a good one. So everywhere that Jesus went, he was saying, hey, I want you to have faith and believe. Mm-hmm. And you ever wonder what the difference were? Because sometimes people think, oh, to have faith is to believe, right? Yeah. Well, faith in Greek comes from the root word pistis, which means to be convinced about something in your spirit. It's the Holy Spirit convincing your spirit, right? Mm-hmm. But to believe is the spirit of man, your spirit, convincing your soul to believe, convincing your soul.
Yeah.
Your soul, the contrast is this, your soul sees in the natural. It sees, and I'm going to give you an example. This is powerful, okay. And it's about you and Rhett, okay?
Okay.
When Rhett was sick, he literally was dying right before my eyes. The doctor said, we don't know what's happening. His organs are shutting down. He's losing weight. The medicine's not working. I don't know what we're going to do, right? I went to bed that night. My soul saw him 97 pounds, okay? My soul saw bones. My soul saw death, right? Mm-hmm. But my spirit could see something else. But my soul was trying to take over my spirit. And I had a dream. The enemy took advantage of a situation. And he painted a picture for me in my soul of death. And I had a dream that night because in my thoughts, I was preparing for Rhett's funeral. I was weeping and crying as though it just happened. And then I had a dream, this big shadow had Rhett's bones and throwing them into a grave. And I stood in the grave screaming, no. And I was climbing out of the grave with his bones. And then I woke up and I was crying and moaning. And my husband was laying beside me. He was crying. He said, Janet, I feel it too. But I felt something wrap around my neck and I couldn't talk. I couldn't say the name of Jesus. I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything. And then he said, he started praying in the spirit. And he said, God said to have another thought. When I couldn't speak, when I couldn't say anything, and I didn't, and I couldn't feel anything, I made myself picture him on his wedding day. And I made myself see his wife. And then I saw two children. I just painted a picture. And I'm going to tell you, Selena, when I look at you right now, I see the picture that faith painted for me. Faith will paint a picture for you and fear will paint a picture for you. And you get to decide which one you want to believe. That's the contrast. And there is power. That thought was in alignment with God because that's the will of God over him, that he shall live a full life, be strong. He will take back everything that the enemy tried to steal. God will restore the years. And then he sends Selena. He sends you into his life and y'all are going to get married next month. How exciting. Yes. I'm still like blown away by the contrast of thoughts when you think it. Did it happen right away? No. We don't serve a microwave God. We serve a God that's on time.
Yes.
He is always on time. And he was preparing us for this time to move here to Florida. And by following the will of God, by moving here, what I saw 5 years ago is now coming to pass in a thought.
Wow.
But it never left me, Selena. That thought never left me. And it gave me so much faith. My faith was so built because I know what I felt in my soul. It was not in my spirit. So Jesus, again, this is what he meant. Have faith and believe. And there was a leper one time that looked up to him and he says, you know, I believe, which means I have faith, but help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How many of us have said that? I believe, but help my unbelief. I have faith, but my soul is saying something else right now. So when your soul says something else and it doesn't line up with the word of God, then you take those thoughts into captivity. You make it come into alignment and let God paint another picture for you.
That's so good. And that just goes back to our daily bread. It's a daily act. He's not going to give us bread for the week. We have to go every single day. And like you said, and myself as well, when I wake up, it's like an immediate just swapping those out. And also it really, I don't know why, I just saw it so differently. But again, when you said that, of it's making those two parallel, the soul and the spirit. The soul has to come into submission with the spirit. And that is like an active daily practice. But it's so beautiful when it does. And like you said, now we're walking in it. We're walking in that.
Yeah. It's powerful. Gosh,
it is so powerful. It's so cool. You know what? There was something when you were speaking, it reminded me of a highlight that I have here. I'm just going to... Oh, okay. It was faith causes you to become strong. That's something I circled in the chapter. And I think that's a perfect example. It's because even when you saw something that was so opposite of what you're believing for, you kept that strength because of your faith. And it keeps you persistent. It keeps you motivated.
Well, when you think about Paul, the call that God had on Paul's life and the obstacles and opposition that he faced. But the Bible said he purposed in his heart to do these things because he knew the gospel had to be preached across the world. And his desire was to get to Spain because he knew if he could get to Spain, the word would be preached all over the world.
Yes.
And then if you see his life, you'll see he says, I was delayed. I was put in prison. I was beaten. The enemy did everything that he could to delay it. But we never read if he got to Spain or not. But we do know that the gospel has been preached all over the world. So I have a gut feeling he did.
Yeah.
Because he purposed in his heart. And when you purpose in your heart, that means I tell my soul, you're not going to have dominion over me today. The dreams that God has put has dominion over my soul. The truth that God has said about me has dominion and more power over my soul than what the enemy. We have to remember that Satan is the god of this world. And he dwells in what the Bible calls the second heaven. And he has authority over that. He creates atmosphere. An atmosphere, what does it do? It creates environment. And that environment, when we come underneath that, it will mold you and shape you into what he has created the atmosphere for, right? So that's why we wake up with our flesh every day. That's why we have to cast down every imagination. That's why when you watch the Chosen, and you see their commercial or their intro is fish. They're swimming against the stream, against the flow of all the rest of the fish.
So
you see all these fish going this way, and then all of a sudden you see one going against it. And that's what we as Christians are called to do, to go against the stream, against the god of this world, right?
Yeah.
And know that we serve the God of the heaven and he is Yahweh. He is in control of everything, and we have to believe in our soul, in our heart, our mind, our soul, in every area. Mm-hmm. I want to read this out.
Okay.
In the book of Habakkuk, the Lord came to him and told him what he wanted him to do, but everything was, there was barrenness. In Habakkuk, he says, I stood upon, I took my place in a high place. He stood upon the mountain and he said, I will wait to hear what the Lord says to me. He had a complaint. He wanted to talk to the Lord about the way he was feeling. And the Lord came to him and he said, Habakkuk, write the vision down, make it plain and make it clear, and then run with it. And though it tarries, wait for it, for it shall surely come to pass. Right? That's what the word says.
Yeah.
Write the vision down. What he said is, do you see it? Can you see? What are you imagining? Does your imagination line up with my image? Does it line up with what I've dreamed over your life and what I have said over your life? Bring it in, and then I want you to write it down because you're going to forget it. So when God creates something and he creates a picture, write it down, repeat it, keep saying it over and over. Run with his word until it happens and never, never give up and never quit. That's what Habakkuk did. And then at the end of it, of Habakkuk, he says, Lord, I don't see it all happening yet, but I know that it will. I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to praise you because if you said it, I'm going to convince my soul that it is so and it will happen just like you did, like you said. And everything that God said, it did happen and it did come to pass. And it will come to pass for you too. For all of you guys that are listening out there, if God said it, believe it. If it's in his word, believe it. Tell your soul. When you wake up in the morning, tell your soul, soul, you're going to come in alignment with the word of God today. Heart, you got to get into alignment with the word of God today. And I will believe, I will trust in the Lord, and I will pray with the Lord, and I will listen to him, and I will do the next thing that he tells me to do. And I'll obey him. You know, I'm going to walk it out. And that's what the scriptures are for you to become that script that he has written out. And I promise you this, God is faithful, Iman, faithful. He is true to his word. And as the rain comes down and waters the earth and flowers come forth because of that water, God says, so shall be my word. It will come down like rain, and what it has purposed to do, you will see it rise up like a flower. And there's timing. God speaks, he plants, it grows, and then it becomes. And there is a process of waiting. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yes.
He's faithful.
Thank you. I'm happy with that, unless there's anything else you want to add.
No, I'm good. I love you so much. It was so good.
I love you. Thank you so much. And before we end this episode, I'm hopping on here post-interview, so Janet's not with me right now. But I did want to mention that she has a remarkable podcast. It's called One Voice Makes a Difference, and I'm going to definitely link that in this episode's show notes. Definitely check that out. It is an anointed podcast. And my goodness, that woman is just on fire for the Lord. So you'll be blessed by listening to her episodes as well. Okay, bye. That concludes today's episode on GGTL. I hope you learned just as much as I did through today's conversation. And if there are any topics you want covered for the season of life that you may be in, please feel free to send me a message and we'll cover that. Be sure to subscribe to the show so that way you are up to date with all of our conversations. And I'll talk to you in the next one. Take care.